This is the Catholic Movie Guy Podcast.
Uh-oh, it's that time again. What time is it?
We don't know.
It's the Catholic Movie Guy Podcast time. Here again, front and center with the Tin Man. We're going to go ahead and skip the normal introduction because I think this one could go long. Feel free to turn off at any point after you've already downloaded.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll try not to talk over you today.
What does that mean?
I think I usually do.
You talk over me?
Indeed.
That's funny. I feel like I was talking over you last time.
Well, that's because I had the more valid points to make.
Hold on just a second. And we're off. That's one technical 1 minute. So, you know, if you want to help the podcast, you love it. You're a big fan because you're a thinking, feeling kind of a person. You want to download the podcast. You want to subscribe to the podcast. You want to go on iTunes and review it. 5 stars only. You want to follow me on Twitter, @CathMovieGuy. You want to follow me on Facebook and like the page. You want to do all those things because you're a right-thinking kind of person.
.com.
Today's going to be a fun one, I think. It's only December 6th. It's the Feast of St. Nick. That's when we're recording this. It probably won't come out that day. But it's about that time of year where people start thinking, you know what, I want to watch a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's the birthday of the Tin Man, too.
Yes, happy birthday, Tin Man.
Thank you, indeed. I'm 21 today.
So he's a beautiful specimen if you can't see him at home.
Which,
unless you have that new television radio that hasn't come out yet, you can't.
We're going to talk about the shows.
Horrible. So anyway, first, we're going to go through our honorable mentions. First, not at the end, as is customary in the podcast. We're going to go through... Should we do it at the end?
Do them at the end.
All right, we'll do the honorable mentions at the end.
They have no context without it.
Wait. No, we have to do them up front.
Because you're going to get people... they'll turn off immediately because you're going to name something they love as an honorable mention. They're like, I don't want to listen to this. Who is this Catholic movie guy?
All right, fine.
Yay!
It's messed up my entire plot here, but that's all right.
Well, first, let's change it.
We're going to go through four of our favorite Christmas movies. The list, you know, we agreed on everything with the war movies. I don't want that. So we're doing four different movies each. We're going to agree on the top spot. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful surprise for all of America. Or at least the 2 dozen of you or so who like my podcast.
It's growing every day. And you know what? 5 years from
like
now.
Like a fungus.
5 years from now, millions of people will download these old podcasts and think, okay, that was the origin, that was the primitive genius.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I like that guy they replaced the Tin Man with, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Or that robot.
Yeah. Or, you know.
So we're back. We had to cut the audio twice because of inappropriate comments by Tim. If you know Tim, you know what they are, because anytime robots comes up, something else comes up related to robots. That is it. I am not going to go any further on the Christmas movie podcast.
Robots are an important topic, and I believe in the future they will play an increasingly vital role in our lives.
Okay. Whew, okay, we made it through it. I can keep going now. All right. So... logically, if we're going to talk about Christmas movies, we should define our terms. What is, to the Tin Man, a Christmas movie?
Well, to me, the Tin Man, I would say a Christmas movie is a movie that is about Christmas. And what do I mean by that? About Christmas means that...
Broadly speaking, at least.
It's a major part of the plot, or it is the spirit of Christmas or an overtly Christmassy message that's involved, and not merely a movie that takes place during a Christmas holiday.
So to me, the lawyer in me, it's a balancing test, okay? It's like, if the movie takes place all on Christmas Day, it's a Christmas movie, even if it's about, like, unicorns, you know? I mean, it doesn't really matter. But if it's, like, partially takes place during the Christmas season, there has to be more of a Christmas meaning behind it.
If you have both, #UniChristmas.
If you have both, great. But there's like a certain threshold. So, you know, just because Christmas in the movie doesn't necessarily make it a Christmas movie, but it gives it a shot. Christmas has to be, as a day, as a season, part of the movie at a minimum.
Right. And I would say that if the movie is named Independence Day, it's not a Christmas movie. I draw my line there.
Horrible. So anyway, we're going to get into the list now, and I think when you see, or you're not seeing anything, are you? When you hear our list, you'll get a vibe for what we're going for with, you know, what a Christmas movie is. I'm going to let the Tin Man start off, because he's my guest.
So are we starting backwards or forwards?
Oh, he's going way backwards. So you're going to start with your number five movie.
Got it. My number five Christmas movie is a cop-out because it's two movies. It's Miracle on 34th Street. And the reason it's two movies is because, of course, there was an ill-fated remake. But I think the remake is absolutely fantastic. I love both versions of the movie. You got the...
Can I cut you off for just a second? Yeah. It's not ill-fated if you like it.
It is, because things I like are never very popular.
I think it was well-reputed.
Was it? I thought it crashed and burned.
I don't know what it did at the box office, but it's definitely got a second life. I know a lot of people who like it, so all right, continue. Well,
here's the deal. So the old classic, of course, the emphasis in that movie is on proving that Santa Claus exists and that he's this particular person, citing as an authority the wonderful U.S. mail that we all rely upon for everything. But, of course, the modern movie couldn't fall on that trope, so it became a different thing about just proving whether Santa Claus exists at all. And then it was a different take, but the little girl in the new movie is so adorable. It just makes you want to vomit.
So, you know, we're talking about Christmas movies. You're talking about the Santa movie. You're wading into a hornet's nest of traddom. I mean, really, because you got your trads who, like, don't want to acknowledge that there is a Santa Claus. They only acknowledge that it's St. Nicholas. They just, you know, they do it on St. Nicholas. They don't do anything in Christmas. They do Christmas, but they don't talk about Santa. What are your thoughts on that, just real quick?
Santa is fun. It is based upon, I mean, it's traditional. It's a Christian message. I'm not a Santa Claus purist. Now, I'm not out there, like, fronting for him and making him the focal point of the season. But if a kid wants to have fun with it, go for it.
Because if you didn't know, I like to, you know, educate the people. Christmas actually came about based on the birth of Jesus. Did you know that?
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Did you check that? Is that a fake news
site? No, I Wikipedia'd it. It's legit. And, yeah, I agree with you. I've been on all sides of the Santa debate. I want to recommend anyone who's interested in Santa Claus, I always send this article to people who are anti-Santa. I respect you, but I don't agree. At least in a strong way. I'm mild on Santa. A G.K. Chesterton article on Santa Claus. You can just Google it and you'll find it. It's a bit verbose, but I like it a lot.
G.K. Chesterton, is that a Catholic author?
That is, Tim. That Bing. Is.
He was the Catholic book guy.
He was a Catholic guy.
Okay.
And the Catholic pipe guy. And the Catholic portly Catholic guy.
Epic poem guy.
Yeah, Catholic joke guy.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, you know, a respectable choice. Can't find any fault with it. I never really fell in love with the movie myself. I'll go to my number five choice, which I know will produce some fireworks. I just want to get this out of the way. Our lists reflect our relative ages, okay? I like all the movies on Tim's list that I've seen. I think Tim hates all the movies on my list, except for one. But I think that the reason is that Tim's kind of stuck in a certain era that he grew up watching these movies, and I am as well. This movie is not great art. I'm not saying that. But to me, Christmas is not Christmas unless I watch Home Alone.
Dreck.
Does it play to the lowest common denominator a little bit?
Dreck.
Sure. Dreck. Does it have slapstick goofball comedy that Tim hates because he thinks he's above it? So yes,
here's
it
the
does.
Problem. Comedy implies that you laugh.
Yeah. Well, this was our late father, God rest his soul, one of his favorite movies of all time.
Are you
serious? Yeah, of course. Are you insulting the memory of our dear father?
Yes.
He watched this all the time. It was up there with My Cousin Vinny and The Fugitive as far as
I just
as
watched
how much
My Cousin Vinny last night. I think it's terrific.
Fine. We're talking about Home Alone, though.
Home Alone was so bad, I'm surprised it actually stuck to the film.
Can I please get through this?
Go ahead.
So Kevin in the movie, the kid, he's a total brat, okay? Not defending him at all. But growing up watching this movie, which maybe I shouldn't have watched, because there is some body things, yeah. maybe I shouldn't have watched it, but I did, and man, that's every kid's dream. I'm sorry. To be stuck at home alone for days on end and have, you know, you're running the place. It's fantastic. It was awesome.
Victimized by burglars?
Are you going to let me get through this, or are you just going to talk over me? Because you just said at the beginning of this you weren't going to talk over me.
I thought it was a give and take.
Yes, to be home alone as a child, be able to eat what you want, do what you want. Of course he finds out that you need parents and you need love. Of course, that's the point of the movie, but that is cool. He gets attacked, and he gets to do, like, little kid war. I mean, he's not getting out guns and shooting these people. He's putting micro machines on the ground so they hurt their feet and fall down. He's hitting them with paint cans and irons. It's every kid's dream. It's so fun. And then finally...
It's John Hughes squared.
Finally, if I might finish...
You're the Catholic movie guy.
there are religious aspects. He does go to church. He meets an old man and reunites the old man with his estranged family. It's fantastic. It's heartwarming. And they get home for Christmas, and it's wonderful. The relationship between the mother and the son, I heartily recommend, despite its warts, Home Alone. As for Home Alone 2, I can't strictly speaking recommend it, except to say our president-elect was in it. So go ahead and check that out.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Donald Trump helps Kevin find his way in the hotel.
Well, there's a lot of analogy there to what's going on now.
Oh, yes. And that will be the subject of our three-hour-long podcast next week. Anyway, let's go to your, because your list is so great. Let's go to your number four movie, Mr. Snob.
Yes, my movie list is great.
By the way, my movie list is filled with movies for the common man, not this...
Here comes an effete intellectual movie. Nothing for the common man. It's A Wonderful Life, number four.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Only the most educated people in America have seen this film.
Yes, It's A Wonderful Life. It's especially A Wonderful Life if you just make up out of whole cloth new reams of angels and theological connotations. It's ridiculous.
Listen, it's not a theological treatise for sure. The idea that people become angels is, of course, asinine. The point of the movie is that Capra just hits you right in the face, as he has wanted to do over and over and over again.
With his ham fist.
Right? With principles of decency, goodness, and kindness, and the little guy wins. And it's very heartwarming. You can't see that movie and not think of Christmas and the home front and your poor old mom and dad. You know?
I could do a whole podcast on what I love and what I hate about this movie. I'm going to break it down into a few succinct criticisms. One, way too long. Hey, buddy, I'm trying to get ready for Christmas, okay? Not like go on a pilgrimage. I mean, really, it's way too long. They could cut easily a half an hour from that movie and nothing would be lost. Two.
You could cut 2 hours from it.
Two, the beginning where the stars representing these angelic beings and supernatural things are talking in the flashing. I know, I get it. It's limited technology.
Yeah.
It's as corny as can be. And you would lose nothing in the movie if you neutralized or did away with that entire thing.
No, sure you would.
No, you don't need to
you
have
the... You see immediately the power of intercessory prayer. That's how the movie begins.
No,
that's as Catholic as all
get out.
That's
the best part of
the
movie.
You have St. Joseph and you have the communion of saints.
Forgive me.
You, sir, are a heathen.
No, angels don't need to tell each other, well, make sure you dress up. What are they wearing down there? Do-do-do. This folksy pre-Vatican II... staid Catholicism that doesn't think, it's like a disdain for intellectualism.
It's your facile argument with my theory on No Country for Old Men, the sheriff outside of the hotel room. You have to be able to explain it to the audience because there's an audience watching.
What you're explaining is inaccurate theologically. People can't become angels.
Does God love us? Does he want us to get to heaven? And does he aid people who are people of goodwill if they need help? The answer is yes. It's perfectly fine.
Okay, Vatican II. Sounds like you're ready to meet the man where he is, even at the sacrifice of truth. Here's my problem. What is wrong with just having it be an angel? Why does it have to be a man?
Because a man, especially in 19... whatever, I don't remember. Is it a 40s movie? It's a 40s movie. It's easier to depict on screen a man.
Okay, why can't he just be a man who's in heaven, a saint? That's what we call him in that fancy term that us commoners can't understand. You know, he has to be an angel. He has to be working for his wings. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, it's a movie trick. I mean, gee whiz, lighten up.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
Well, right. So
it's corny, just like America.
My point is, the movie's corny, theologically inaccurate, and could have been perfect. And you would think with a Catholic at the helm, it would have, you know, he would have said, hey, Joe, you might want to rewrite that.
No, there are two things I love about this movie. Number one, I want to find out more about Violet Biggs. What's her story? Where'd she end up? Can I get her phone number?
Least believable thing about the movie is that he wouldn't have gone on a date with Violet.
Well, I think he would have.
Well, he didn't.
But he had married the librarian. Now, here's the thing.
Second least believable thing. You're going to put the poison next to the pills that help people.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I love it.
That's the stupidest.
And he can't read the word poison on that.
By the way, that guy, what's his name?
Mr. Gower!
He's probably single-handedly responsible for the FDA. I lay all of our administrative agencies at his feet. What an idiot. And then he just beats, he bludgeons him.
Our friend Joe, the one who criticizes your movie selection, I picture him ordering the flaming rum punch. He's that kind of a character.
Yeah, so to me, the movie, obviously it's heartwarming, great message overall, but its flaws are such that it just irritates me.
You're a cynic and it's disgusting.
It's obviously a very, very, very good movie. It's a Christmas classic, but to me, it's just, the flaws irritate me. So I'll go ahead and go to my number four movie, which is something that I know you love, which is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I stand in awe of the juxtaposition of our numbers four.
Right. The difference is Chevy Chase doesn't pretend to be an angel or have any sort of angelic man guide him.
I will admit, I have never seen National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
That is too
Why? Funny. Why? Because Vacation was horrible. The Ridge.
Jaw drop. Yeah, okay. Tin Man, you know, it's funny because the Tin Man loves body, lowest common denominator comedy, but only of his own choosing. His idiosyncrasies know no bounds. I will go ahead and say, this is a body movie. It has no religious aspect. Nevertheless, it's part of my childhood. It is about the Christmas spirit, which you hear so much about, which is basically, you know, getting along with your fellow man, just like all that stuff, you know, good cheer, family, etc. And I like it because it reminds me the most of family gatherings growing up and, you know, the sort of little hell on earth that they can become. At the same time, they're so necessary because of the wonderful thing that they can be to your family.
So I'll admit that people love that movie. I mean, you can't talk about, everybody loves Christmas Vacation. To me, when I saw Vacation, the Randy Quaid character, I found so annoying. I didn't find it funny. So that when this came out, it seemed like they were doubling down on that. And I think everybody loves the Randy Quaid character. Well, except for me, I hated it.
Or is it, maybe, that you heard other people liked it and you didn't want to like it?
No, I saw it ITF and I did not like it.
ITF?
In the flesh.
You said you didn't see it.
Vacation I saw. Randy Quaid. No. I didn't like it.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you've seen Christmas Vacation, you know if you like it or not. And if you haven't, you know, I don't know what to tell you. So we'll go on to Tin Man's number three movie.
Okay. All right, here it comes. This is actually one of my very favorite Christmas movies. And when you get into these top three,
of course,
they're all
it's
very,
your third favorite.
But these are very close. I think this one could have easily been number one. This is the classic movie with starring Loretta Young, David Niven, and Cary Grant, The Bishop's Wife. Fantastic movie about a flirtatious angel. Now, you talk about George Bailey's angel being caterwampus. Think about this dude.
Right. So now your debauchery is taken a step further, which is not only is the angel, you know, a man, it's actually a cad.
No, he's not a cad. He's dashing. He's a gentleman. He's witty. He's charming. He saves a moribund Protestant wedding, Protestant marriage. You've got a Protestant bishop, fake bishop, and you've got a fake marriage with, no, the marriage is probably real. Okay. We don't have to get into that.
So, I mean, so it's well acted.
It's very well acted.
It's resonant.
It's great. It's terrific.
Yeah. It's heartwarming.
What it is, it really shows the importance not only of what's important at Christmas. There's a wonderful sermon at the end of the movie about the gift of the Christ child that Cary Grant actually ghost wrote for David Niven. It also teaches the value of home and family, and it's a delightful, funny, cheery rom-com, if you will.
So I just want to just summarize. Your third movie for Christmas is a flirtatious angel fixing a fake bishop's marriage to his flirtatious wife. Is that a fair summary?
Flirtatious is a bit far. I would say there's also delightful drunk.
Awkward silence. I'm going to go ahead and go to my number three movie. Far be it for me to browbeat Tin Man for his choices. My third movie is Body Is All Get Out. It stars the great Bill Murray. I love Bill Murray. Love, love, love Bill Murray. It's a take on The Christmas Carol, one of, I believe, many on our list. It's Scrooge. Yet another movie that Tim hates without seeing.
Well, let me ask you, what did Roger Ebert have to say about that
movie?
Yes,
the great Roger Ebert, God bless him, great writer. I don't always agree with what he says. He gave it 1 out of 4. And I'm going to let that give me, that's 3 seconds of pause, because he's great. But I watched Scrooge. Scrooge is great. It's a take on Dickens' Christmas Carol. It's set in the modern then era, and to me, in my childhood, the high-tech era of a TV network exec who's completely materialistic and selfish. And, you know, he may meet some spirits, maybe past spirits, maybe present spirits, maybe future spirits, and he learns the meaning of Christmas. We all know it. But Bill Murray elevates it because, one, he's hilarious, okay? 2, his level of jadedness and cynicism, which I have been accused of nary 5 minutes ago by the Tin Man, I think make the maudlin nature of the Christmas Carol itself, it tempers it a bit. Because, you know, Dickens is maudlin as all get out. And on the nose, I'm sorry, that's just my opinion. He's a great writer, obviously. But maudlin, I think that the
maudlin.
Yeah, maudlin.
All right. I don't agree.
Do you need a dictionary?
I just don't.
It has nothing to do with.
Think it means.
Oh, I know. It has nothing to do with B. Arthur. I'll tell you that.
I love B. Arthur.
Anyway, I think the juxtaposition of Murray's sarcasm with the heartwarming nature of the story is wonderful. It teaches a valuable lesson. Does it do it in a vulgar and bawdy way? Yes, yes, it does. But you know, it's part of my childhood. What can I say?
I have never seen it. My question is: as a Ghost of Christmas Past, the great Charlie Weaver, he's a wonderful, wonderful TV personality.
Wonderful.
Was it him?
I don't know who Charlie Weaver is. I'll be honest. But I will say that, what's her name? Carol Kane? You know this chick?
Carol Kane.
This lady, this woman.
Yeah, she's on the great Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes, she's in it. She's the Ghost of Christmas Present. And she's...
Is she hotter than Hottie Hotterson?
No, that's not what I was going for.
She's wonderful.
She's wonderful. That's
right. I noticed that you like Carol Kane.
Okay, so that's my number 3. Tin Man, what's your number deuce?
The great... classic definitive version of the Christmas Carol starring Alistair Sim.
No, I just talked about Scrooge.
This is the definitive version, the black and white British production, Alistair Sim, Hermione Baddeley, and the rest, John Warner. Some great character actors and a wonderfully acted, true to the book, Christmas Carol.
So, yeah, I mean, can't say anything against it.
If you're older than 16... you know, you grew up watching this Christmas Carol.
So I heard that the 1938 version also has its adherents. Have you ever seen that one?
I have seen it. It's wonderful. I do like every iteration that I've seen of Christmas Carol.
And this is not me being mean. Do you know any other adjectives to describe it besides wonderful?
It's wonderful.
Yeah. So, great.
Charming. It's delightful. If you haven't... playful romp.
If you haven't heard of this Christmas Carol, as they say... please go seek it out immediately.
And I don't generally like Dickens, so my favorite work of his is The Christmas Carol.
But you do podcasts like the Dickens.
I do.
Hat tip the morning after. Anyway, I'm going to go to my number 2.
Go for it.
Which, contra Tin Man, and it's not close, is the definitive version of The Christmas Carol
set to film. Wait. Let me set this up. Notice what he just said. Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? Definitive version, go.
Yeah, it's the Muppets Christmas Carol, and it's not close. It's wonderful. Again, I like it because it takes that ham-fisted, obvious... I don't mean that in a bad way, even. But the Christmas Carol, it's worn. We all know the story, and it adds an element of silliness, of playfulness, that is not in the original, whether you like it or not.
Is it in Scrooged? That's what I want to know.
It also emphasizes in a way that, say, Scrooge doesn't. The Christian aspects of the holiday in a not on the nose way, but it mentions them, and it's very heartwarming. It works for all ages. I think the Marley and Marley song that they sing is wonderful, wonderful. It's a little scary. Like my kids are scared of it. I was a little scared of it.
I'm a big fan of the Great Gonzo.
And finally,
I actually love that movie. It's really great,
and it's held together by the great actor Michael Caine, who does a great performance, and it's actually one of his favorite roles of all time.
He said so?
Yeah.
Well, I saw him in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yes, also not a Christmas movie.
No, clearly
so
not.
So to me, that's my number one before we get to number one. What's your number one before we get to number one?
That was it. That was The Christmas Carol.
That's it? We're done?
Yeah, we're done.
All right, so now we're on to it.
Yeah.
The number one, and we're in agreement.
Yes.
You know, we agree on a lot of things, but when we disagree, it's passionate.
Yeah.
It's very violent sometimes.
Violent, yes.
Certainly it's vociferous.
Vociferous.
With a lot of vigor and vim.
Vim.
But when we agree, it's wonderful. And you know it's good when we agree.
Yes, now, this movie...
This movie's going to test the limits of a Christmas movie.
Yeah, because it probably...
No, don't say it. Don't say it. It qualifies. It happens in and around Christmas. Christmas is explicitly mentioned.
And it happens throughout the Christmas season.
Characters go to church.
Bingo.
Yeah.
They go to...
They go to service. Church. They go to It's a Wonderful Life Church.
Not a real church.
They go to Bishop's Wife Church.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah, that's true, man. A lot of Praddies in here.
And you're going to hear it, ladies and gentlemen, and there's not going to be a ding on the bell.
It's called
Metropolitan.
It stars the great Chris Eigenman and his Nick. And
you don't need to
Taylor
remember
Nichols as Charlie.
You don't need to remember those names, folks, because they're not in any other movies besides Whit Stillman movies. This is a Whit Stillman vehicle. It's his first film, and to me, not close. Inarguably his best film, Metropolitan. Give us a plot summary, Tom.
Well, it's really Barcelona's
all. I don't want to hear about Barcelona with a bell. Just give me the summary.
All right, the summary is this is about the UBS. The UHBs.
The Urban Haute Bourgeoisie. By the way.
Does that sound titillating?
Patrick D., if you're listening at home, do not watch this movie.
No, he needs to watch it more than anybody
I've
ever seen.
This was a movie about culture, about tradition.
No, it's about New York in the mysterious, you know, it doesn't say exactly, but in the post-70s time period, the period of modern changes to what was a settled way of doing things. And so you have this anachronism of the New York socialites who have their coming out parties around Christmas and their huge, the social balls, you know, the dances, dinner, the balls. And this feeling they have even within their own set that it's all futile and that what is it all about? And there are some tremendous insights into what tradition is, what Catholicism is, because it is totally incarnational.
They are hanging on to something of great value that is on a surface level, I mean, just a superficial way of doing things, but actually portends great meaning. And I find it so resonant
right.
to what we are fighting for as traditional Catholics.
Right, and especially think liturgy. You know, there are these things, smells and bells. What is it really about? And there are many wonderful scenes, wonderful, in this movie.
Wonderful, wonderful.
But there's a conversation that the two of the main characters have about detachable collars on a tuxedo shirt. Now, Patrick, stick with me, okay? It's about much more than that. And in that little conversation, you really get like 15 insights into human nature and what society and civilization are really all about. It's got some wonderfully fake people. It has the dynamics of friendship, how friendships are acquired and discarded.
And it's also about love, what true love is, what you should be looking for.
And chivalry.
Yeah, chivalry.
That movie is a fantastic movie. It's one of my all-time favorites.
Me too. It barely qualifies as a Christmas movie. I will say that if you're looking for a pure Christmas movie, like it's only about Christmas, it's not. That would be, for me, Muppet Christmas Carol. For Tim,
The Christmas Carol with Alistair Sim.
Right. But if you're looking for a movie that barely qualifies as a Christmas movie and that is the best, it's not close because this movie is transcendent. I don't know. It's not a perfect movie. I would never say that. It's talky. It's not long, but
see,
it's long for what it is.
It.
No, of course. I do too. But even if you're not the type of person who goes in for a movie that's largely dialogue-based, because you're not going to see an explosion or a gunshot in this movie, you have to see it because whether you enjoy it or not, it communicates truth, beauty, and goodness.
And it's also interesting.
Exactly.
Obviously, none of us are New York socialites. And
that's not about that.
Right. What do their little problems have to do with us? And the thing is, it makes two points. Number one, it has everything to do with us. It affects us. And also, we all have the same problems. We all face the same issues of what it means to be human.
And it's not deep.
Not
just that, but what it means to, first of all, it's a coming of age. What it means to grow up, to become an adult, to make your way in the world. But also, you can apply it to like your family's Christmas dinner. Maybe you make a certain dish all the time and it's being phased out. Maybe you get together with certain people in a certain way, and that's being pushed to the side.
We haven't had that Jell-O carrot salad in years.
It's exactly right. And the Jell-O carrot salad, maybe you hate Jell-Os. Maybe you hate carrots. It doesn't matter. The point is, that salad was created by someone and handed down to someone for a specific reason, and it has value.
And it's a funny movie, too. I mean, there are a lot of funny scenes.
Yeah, it's funny.
There's a villain. There's Von Slonniger. You know.
Yes, he's right up there with Darth Vader as far as
he is, and he's. I think the titled aristocracy are the biggest snobs.
Look, you might watch it and you might hate it, but you'll be better for it. You need to watch it, and you need to at least come face to face with what it's about. It's a classic.
You won't expect to like it, but you will like it.
You
if
may
you
hate
are
it.
Sentient. No, you're going to love it because it's fantastic.
No. Look, if you're going in there looking for Star Wars, you're not going to like it. If you're going in there looking for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you're not going to like it. But you need to watch it at least once.
It is great. There's a reason I talk about it on every podcast.
Podcast. And here we go. You're dinged for Metropolitan. No, I'm just joking. it's a great movie, and I'm glad we got to talk about it a little bit at length. If there's enough interest, which there won't be, maybe we'll do a full podcast on it.
There will be.
Someday.
There will be. It'll be the last podcast.
Yes. So that's it, folks. That's our top five Christmas movies, but we're not done. But wait, there's more. We're going to do our honorable mentions out of order. Okay. And I'm going to start it off. I'm going to get the ball rolling with the definitive, is it a Christmas movie? And the answer is yes. It's Die Hard, okay? Die Hard, first of all, is a Christmas movie. It satisfies the boxes, which is one, it takes place during Christmas.
Two, it has Reginald Vell Johnson.
Two, it has themes that fit with the Christmas season. Togetherness, family,
etc. Terrorism.
Nakatomi Tower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alan Rickman.
Bingo.
So, yeah, to me it is a Christmas movie, and our president-elect has proven that it's a Christmas movie. Go to my Twitter feed, at KathMovieGuy, to find out why. But you know what? It may be one of the greatest action movies of all time, and it is one of the greatest action movies of all time, despite what the Tin Man says. He's out of his
element. I like the movie.
You said you didn't! You lied!
I just don't think it's a Christmas movie, and I don't think it's a great movie.
He's out of his element, Donnie. But to me, for Christmas list, it doesn't crack the top five. I'll go ahead and defer to the Tin Man for the second one.
Yeah,
on the list.
So this is one of a couple. I didn't run this by Steve here, but While You Were Sleeping, it's a hilarious movie. It's a rom com.
Hey, Luce, is this guy bothering
you? It happens during Christmas. It's kind of about Christmas. It's about Christmas and family. It is a very, very good movie. It almost made my top five.
Someday we'll do a rom com list, and it's definitely in the top five rom coms of all time to me.
I would throw Serendipity into this. It's not. The first part of the movie when they first meet, it happens during Christmas, so I associate it with Christmas. And it's also a very funny movie, too. The great John Cusack!
Okay, now I'm going to talk about The Nativity. It's disqualified from this list for two reasons. One, the Tin Man is very theologically strict.
Bingo.
About this movie and not other movies.
Don't mess with the Blessed Mother.
Right, of course not. Angels are fine. So we just left it off because it's really not a Christmas movie. It's just the event that started Christmas.
Well, that is Christmas.
No. To me, a Christmas movie is about what do we do around Christmas, not what happened at the original birth of Christ. But that's fine. It's not on the list because you won't watch it. So let's just scoot on by. I'm going to go to Family Man next, which I believe I watched, but I don't really remember. My wife really likes
it.
Yeah, it's Nicolas Cage.
I've never even heard of
it. It's one of those Trading Places movies. Not really. What's the movie with...
What about Trading Places?
I'm getting there. Chill out. All
right, there you go.
Whoa. What's that movie where Judge Reinhold and Fred Savage switch bodies?
I know. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
You are incorrect, sir. What is that called?
That's
man?
The only judge. Well, you got Time the out. Beverly Hills it. Cop.
No. Hold on. Fred Savage, I'm Googling this.
Friday. The Great Freaky Friday.
That's wrong.
13 going on 30.
That's wrong. That was the great Haley. What's her face?
Joel Osment.
What's
her name? I don't know. Haley Mills?
The great Haley Mills. That's it. So we got Haley Mills, and that's Freaky Friday, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking
about... This podcast is going off the rails, buddy.
No.
Judge Freaky Reinhold.
Vice versa. They switch bodies. It's one of those where Nicolas Cage basically gets into an alternate reality where he's a family man. Doesn't matter. I think it's good, but I can't remember enough to include in my top five. My wife is partial to it. And maybe I'll ask her about it in a segment. I don't know. I'm not a psychic. But we're going to go on and plow through that. Charlie Brown Christmas. That's great.
Oh,
come on. What are you talking about?
It's horrific.
Why is it horrific?
I think Charlie Brown is an example of cruelty to children. This poor guy, he's always getting hosed by all of his friends. He should burn that place down.
Well, that's actually in the deleted scenes, but I think that it does a value.
Oh, you don't like my tree? You know, he should be whipping out a gun
right.
And just start.
I think he teaches kids a valuable lesson, which is failure ahead.
also, Prati song at the end.
Oh, whatever. So anyway, we'll plow through that, and now I'm going to go to the real near miss. For me, this probably could displace Home Alone or Christmas Vacation, and it's Christmas Story. Just from my perspective. Here's why it's not on the list, even though I've watched it probably more than any of the other movies I've talked about. For me, being a youngin, or a ute, as they say, it was part of my childhood because I watched it, but it was already an era that was far gone. I never walked to school. I never got beat up by bullies. In fact, that would probably be a hate crime or something. I mean, that's just not my era at all. Changing a flat tire? We have people to do that for us now. So to me, as much as I liked it, and a BB gun? Come on. As much as I liked
it. I had a BB gun.
Right. You're old. And I mean that with all due respect. To me, I love the movie. It's secular. That's the part I don't like. There's really no religious element at all. But my mom wasn't washing my mouth out. I wasn't walking to school. It's an era I didn't live through. So you go ahead and tell me why it wasn't in your top five, because you, being ancient, did live through
it. To me, it has there's gratuitous vulgarity. It didn't need to be as vulgar as it was. And you know, the bad language isn't even the times when the father's supposed to be using bad language, because that they kind of fudge out of the...
No
pun intended.
By the way, though, that first time you actually slipped in front of your parents, that's a fun... I mean, we've all been there, right?
Right. Look, it's a very funny movie, and it's very well acted. I enjoy it quite a bit. I would watch it again. It just didn't make my top five because it didn't quite cut it, that's all.
It's a Christmas classic for me. The reason it didn't make it top five, besides the fact that I didn't live it, is the emotional resonance. I get it, but
dude, let me tell you,
this movie's not going to make me cry.
Since you've already outed me as old, I do identify very strongly. You know, when he sends out for that little orphan Annie decoder thing,
mm-hmm, right? Yeah,
the secret club.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do that when we were kids. We had Kool-Aid, all right? So Kool-Aid, the Kool-Aid man, right? They had this advertisement. You could get your own Kool-Aid canteen, and you had to send in some proof of purchase
by Pony Express.
No. U.S. Mail, the same people that proved that Santa was real in Miracle on 34th Street. But you said that, and you had to wait. We waited 7-8 weeks, and you would go out to the mailbox like an idiot every day. Did it come yet? Did it come yet? And your parents know that, of course, it's fool's gold. So we wait. It finally comes, and it's a piece of junk. And you're like, you just lose all faith in everything as
a child. So then
I identified with that scene very strongly.
So then you have to send a telegram with your complaints.
No, not a telegram. Candygram.
Hashtag old. Anyway, it's a great
movie. I did that, man.
But to me, I
sent away for stuff. Had catalogs where you mailed stuff.
Yes, and you walked in 5 feet of snow to school. It doesn't matter. Here's the thing. To me, it's Christmas. I'm going to cry if it's a great Christmas movie. All these movies I talked about, I could cry during. But not Christmas Story. There's nothing to cry about.
I could say something, but I won't. Steve's afraid of the PC police.
That's true. Who wouldn't be? You heard that Radiohead song?
What's a Radiohead?
Yeah, they're a great band.
Never heard of them.
They're probably the band of the 90s, really.
What is that worth?
Well, basically, karma police. You know, they'll come after you for what you say on the podcast, or the podcast, even what you think.
You must be referring to the great band The Smiths.
No, I'm not. At all. But if you're going to criticize me for my feminine qualities, and you're going to listen to the Smiths, I'll go ahead and say, you're a hypocrite. You cry all the time. It's Christmas. Of course you're going to shed a tear of joy and wistful sadness at our place sojourning in this land of perdition, man.
That's the GL working on
you. That's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, that's great.
But anyway, to me, Christmas Story, not as resonant emotionally as I look for.
Yeah, I like
that. Any other honorable mentions? Santa Claus, you're a big fan of Tim Allen's The Santa Claus?
No.
Horrific, also about broken families, of course. Every movie in the 90s wasn't it?
Yeah, boy, you know, I never saw this movie. What was that one with Michael Keaton with Jack Frost? I mean, that just looked pathetic. Well,
that's a different one. What about Polar Express? You see Polar Express?
That was horrible.
I would say it's not horrible, but it wasn't great either.
Horrible.
It's in the middle.
I love the Christmas specials that I grew up with, Rudolph and How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yeah, we all have a
those aren't movies though, so I didn't count.
And they're also not great.
The Reginald Owen Christmas Carol, as you said, the 1938 classic, that's great too.
Oh, and I hear, although I haven't seen it, that the Jim Carrey Christmas Carol, despite what the Tin Man says, is really great and might actually be the definitive version.
I am telling you that, although I haven't seen Scrooge, and of course Bill Murray's funny, I'm just making fun of you. I mean, it probably is horrible, but
That's weird. You never
made fun of me. I love every version of the Christmas Carol I've ever seen, whether it's done well or poorly. I've loved them all.
I want to throw in How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
I just did that.
The classic Dr. Seuss cartoon version, not the Jim Carrey version.
Because he's horrible.
Yeah, no, that cartoon version is one of my favorites. That's one
we just saw it last night. Watched it with the kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Catholic Movie Guy podcast. I don't normally make a musical recommendation, but since we're in the spirit here, I know Tin Man has some expertise. We'll both vouchsafe some of the actually good Christmas albums that you can listen to during this time of year. We're going to start with Tim's favorite jazz musician.
Well, Satchmo. You know why they call Louis Armstrong Satchmo, right?
Do not finish that joke.
I can't finish the joke, but yeah, there's a Louis Armstrong's Christmas All-Stars. It's wonderful. Go ahead, next.
I'm going to go ahead and throw in a recommendation for She and Him's Christmas album. It's by Zooey Deschanel, the great Zooey Deschanel, and M. Ward, one of my favorites.
She's real quirky.
He carries her. Great Christmas album. It's very... very by the book. I'll also throw in a recommendation for Bob Dylan's Christmas album, which if you're looking for musicality, don't look there. But if you're looking for raw emotion and love of
Bob, and it is exactly a Christmas train wreck.
Yes.
It is worth listening to just for the spectac.
Yeah, but if you're that kind of person, don't listen to it. If you're a Bob lover, like me and the Tin Man, it's emotionally resonant because Bob's voice is faltering, but his spirit is not.
Oh, it's great.
I'm also going to throw in, I know Tin Man loves this, this is my second favorite Christmas album of all time, Amy Mann's Lost in the Snow. Great. Great Christmas album.
One More Drifter in the Snow?
One More Drifter in the Snow. Okay. Exactly. Even better than that made-up album I just said. That's my second favorite Christmas album of all time.
And The Chieftains' Christmas. The Bells of Dublin. That is a wonderful album.
But no, that's not the best, despite how great they are. They're both great.
Did not
great.
Say
Sufjan The best Stevens. Is Sufjan Stevens' Songs for Christmas, Volumes 1 through 5. Now, he had Volumes 6 through 10. Bypass those, ladies and gentlemen. Volumes 1 through 5, Sufjan Stevens, quirky, traditional, insightful, emotional, old, new, everything is there. That's what you need to seek out. It's only $20 on Amazon. That's what you need. 5 albums of Christmas bliss.
If you are an NFL player and you've taken steroids and you're trying to pass the most recent drug test, you put in that Sufjan Stevens business, boom, your testosterone drops 50 points.
I just want to know, do you own that album?
No, I've heard it though.
How much have you heard of it? Like... 30 seconds?
Less.
Yeah. It's great. It's the best Christmas album. And now you know the best music to listen to. You know the best movies to watch.
Horrific stuff.
You're ready for a big league Christmas season, ladies big and league. Gentlemen. Big league. Now, briefly, before we go, I'd like my wife to weigh in on the movies of the season.
Hello?
Hey, honey. How's it going?
Great.
Really?
No, not really.
I just wanted to ask you a couple questions just for fun.
Uh-huh.
So you know Christmas movies?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Do you like those?
Yes.
Are there any, like, you like White Christmas a lot, right?
Yeah, I do.
You like Family Man a lot?
Mm-hmm.
You like White Christmas a lot, though, right?
I do. I think it's neat.
Why?
It's
neat. Why do you like it?
It's so cheesy and terrible, and I love it. It's just great.
Do you know that it's a musical, though?
Oh, I do.
And you still like it?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make me watch this, aren't you?
Of course.
Tim, any parting thoughts before we wrap up this bonanza extra long Christmas podcast?
Well, we're going to make Christmas great again.
We are. It was pretty great.
Well, I think we just made it great.
Well, okay, but wasn't it great already? We're making it greater. Correct. Again.
Well, see, the Lord made it great, then people lost it.
They lost it.
Then we came along and made it great again.
In 2016.
Mr. Dean.
I hurt my spleen. Dude, what I'm saying is, this year's going to be great. Oh, we're going to skate. You know what I'm saying?
I do. We better. Wait, no, I have no idea what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, this podcast is rad. or I'm going to call my dad. You know what I'm saying?
No, that doesn't make any sense.
What I'm saying is we gave the people what to watch so that they don't fall off the...
Scotch?
You know what I'm saying?
No.
What I'm saying is we told the people what to listen to for their purview in the season so that they don't fall past curfew. You know what I'm saying?
I want to point out that we've had something to drink.
That's the other thing. You want to give bourbon recommendations for Christmas?
Oh, baby.
Any of them.
If you can get a hold of Eagle Rare, that is a bargain play at $28 a fifth. But the best bourbon.
Are we in agreement here?
The Four Roses.
Single barrel strength.
Don't just get the single barrel and that's think that good. We don't know what we're talking
it's
about.
Good, but it's not
Four
great.
Roses single barrel strength.
Because that's 122 proof. And when you're sitting through grandma's story about... You know, the hip, the broken hip, the hip pointer, the hip flexor,
or your
the arthritis.
Your brother's gallbladder surgery.
Right. Or, you know, you have to talk to that girlfriend that your cousin brought and no one likes her and she has this weird piercing in her eye and we don't know how she got it in her iris. You're going to need 120 proof.
Bing.
So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Christmas blowout way early. Hope you enjoy Christmas. It's not for many, many weeks from now. But next week we're going to be back and we're going to have something very wonderful and very appropriate to the time period. We're going to be talking about, I think, A Man for All Seasons on the 50th anniversary of its theatrical release.
Party on, Wade.